So there we go. Let's talk about sports.
All right.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about sports ball and the intersection of geeks and sports fans through the lens of a dominant culture oppression of the minority voice.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, as always, Molly Glover, and I am joined by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
I am Tim Wick.
It's true. He is. Yes.
Verified.
And today we are going to talk about sports.
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 Yeah,
and actually the intersection between sports and geeks. And if not the intersection, then the violent opposition to like oil and water.
Nerds so, and physical activity.
Yeah. So between the Super Bowl being this month and the Olympics being this month, there was a lot of sports.
A lot of sports happening.
Just all over the place.
Sports happen all the time.
I know,
sports?
But they were very in my face right this is
sure.
last month. And
sure.
that's you know, it happens.
Those two things are, I mean, Olympics and Super Bowl are two of the highest, they're both the highest watched thing in America, Olympics in the world, I think.
Yep, and now we're moving into the NCAA tournament with March Madness. Which
are we?
We are. It's March Madness.
It's called March Madness.
And
it happens in March.
What that means is that lots of people who are geeks who like stats, gaming, and things are going to be doing their brackets and all that.
I know a thing about that.
Do you?
From NPR. This year is the last year that they're for the because that's March Madness is college basketball, right?
NCAA is college.
So this year is the last year that they're using some super archaic way of making their brackets and deciding who ends up being the final two that go at it for the cup trophy.
Well, that's decided by games.
Ah, but see who plays who and how they rank the teams
they
and all that is all seeded.
Right.
And it's kind of arbitrary or kind of
outdated.
Done shittily. And people are like really, really upset about it traditionally. And so this is the last year it'll be done that year. That way, 2015, they'll be doing it in a straight up bracketed fight off.
Interesting.
Champion.
Also, this is important whether you know anything about sports or not. Warren Buffett is offering $1 billion to anybody who can do a NCAA bracket 100% accurate.
Yeah.
Which is harder to do than win the lottery.
It's
harder to do than win the lottery. But you know, if you can just fill out a bracket, and if you can get it all 100% right, Warren Buffett will give you $1 billion.
I'm tempted just to fill one out. I don't know anything about it.
Why the fuck not, right?
I mean,
it's
you can't
cheaper.
Play if you don't buy a ticket.
It's cheaper than a lottery ticket,
that's
right?
That's true.
It's cheaper than a lottery. You can do it for free and maybe win $1 billion. Why would you do
Warren
it?
Buffett.
Yeah, I do too.
But that doesn't have anything to do with sports.
Here's the thing about... So recently, and if you are... If you are geeky and or if you know any of us personally, then you probably had this kind of enter your sphere on Facebook specifically was the there was a recent toward the end of the NFL season, there was a player, a black player, who celebrated his win too much and
he was kind of a dick.
Being kind of a dick, but you know what? It's that kind of like brush your shoulders off dickness that is like I won and whatever. And
he's got a lot of adrenaline coursing through his system.
And it was
he was a bad winner.
Worst case scenario, he was a bad winner.
Yeah.
And it turned into a gigantic
I believe
racial
his name is
thing.
Richard Sherman.
Yes, Richard Sherman.
Sure.
And it became this whole thing about like are people saying he's being uppity? Like, and it was just, a big
uppity
race.
Is a bad word
right.
to use to describe black
it
people.
It was being
I'd
used
say.
On purpose that way.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it was this whole idea. Oh, and then it was like, oh, did he push someone? And it's like in a game where men are set to violently hit and hurt each other in ways. The idea that they were upset and that maybe he should be like fined and sanctioned for possibly one-handed pushing somebody is hilarious to me as an outsider in the game. But so that kind of spurred a bunch of debates on all of our Facebook walls and some friends, a friend of the show, Eric Knight, people were talking about this idea that so many geeks are very dismissive of sports,
which I think is true.
I can attest to personally. I often am, yeah. And with the whole idea of, you know, like Wil Wheaton coined the term hand egg, or maybe yeah. even people are like, oh, the new hand egg game is on, or sports
for football,
or
yeah, yeah.
The oatmeal has the whole like piggers are gonna win, piggers are gonna go all the way,
I
like
think the piggers are gonna do it.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, there's lots of jokes in geek culture.
Sure.
The assholes are going to beat the jerk-offs or whatever.
I hope the assholes beat the shitheads. Like, it's a penny
welcome,
arcade.
Yeah, welcome yeah. to that local sports team. How about them, eh? You
yeah.
know, like,
yeah,
and,
yeah. Mr. Burns
and,
from the Simpsons.
Yeah, which is super funny. But, like, there is this kind of idea that maybe it's just another form of genre shaming.
Okay.
And the idea yeah. that isn't it, is it, I mean, this thing that we as geeks experience and have fought against and, you know, to be honest, bitch about our whole lives, that people are, you know, they don't get us, or they don't get what we like, and they make fun of it, and they mock us, and like, are we just doing that back to people who like sports?
It's reverse racism, Molly.
Well, and that's the thing. Reverse racism is still racism. So is it, you know, like, I mean,
Does it matter that it's the dominant culture and it's subcultures against the dominant culture?
It absolutely matters that it's the dominant culture. Now, I say that, I always refer to myself as a closeted sports geek because
yeah.
I like sports. I watch a lot of sports. I read a lot about sports.
Which you watch sports? The Super Bowl for the football.
I watch the Super Bowl for the football yeah. and the commercials.
Yeah, like, but the football, you don't just ignore, everyone else I know is like, we're just going to ignore the game and watch the commercials.
I watched 4 whole minutes of the Super Bowl and watched actual game.
I'm interested in, I love watching tennis. I think tennis is fascinating.
Really?
I think that makes you geeky among sports lovers.
It does.
Though.
I love the Olympics because there are all sorts of different sports that you yeah. don't get to see that often. I enjoy sports, and I call myself a closeted sports geek mostly because I hang out with geeks who aren't interested in sports.
Mm.
And it's not that I feel like I'm pressured to not talk about sports. It's, why would I talk about something that other people I'm with are not interested in?
Autism.
When we have all, well, because, yeah.
I mean, that's,
yeah,
what, that's for me. That's what sure, I, that's, sure. that's why I do it.
But we have all sorts of other things that we are interested
oh, sure.
about together. So, like Eric Knight, friend of the show, Eric Knight, he and I both enjoy football. So sometimes when we're together, we will talk about football. Because it is something that we both watch, that we both mm-hmm. pay attention to,
mutual
and
interest.
That we can have a intelligent conversation about. But if I'm hanging out with you guys, why would I bring up football? There's no point.
So now here's a question for me. Do you have people, do you have a lot of anybody in your life that you would say is a non-geek, like a normal? Do you spend a lot of time around normals?
No.
Okay. See, I don't either. And I wonder how much you, either one of you, would enjoy talking football with like a traditional person who likes football.
The
typical American man who's watching football.
See, the geeks who are into sports, and this yeah. is fun, the geeks who are into sports are totally into all the weird nitty-gritty bullshit.
Statistics.
Yeah, I think the sport that most geeks are into is baseball, because baseball is all about these whack numbers. And they love that shit.
Yeah.
The game itself is not nearly as interesting as yeah. all the numbers.
Baseball is a statistician's
yeah.
best
yeah.
game.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the listeners that sent in his questions, John Bollinger. We used to work together, and I think he does fantasy
baseball.
Sports. Fantasy baseball, some fantasy football sport, whatever.
Yeah.
Purely because he's a spreadsheet nerd and he loves statistics and numbers yeah. and like not to do with the sport at
yeah.
all.
Yeah. To me, there's a narrative to every game, and I mean, I'm a storyteller. I'm a writer.
Casey at the bat.
Yeah. And watching sports is all about the narratives that emerge
sure.
from the way these games all happen, to the point that a lot of the time I'm not interested in actually watching the game. I'm interested in the narrative that emerges after the game is over.
See, and I feel like if there were, I mean, they're not listening, but if there were like normal sports fans, like the dudes my brother used to live with,
yeah.
like the dudes who lived out in the boonies that would watch games, they'd be like, who's this fucking fag talking about narratives? Like, and so, like, that's what I think is, it's just, yeah.
At my work, everyone in my office pretty much is sports fan.
Yeah.
And there's a bracket buy-in weekly
we have one of
draft
those
whatever like for where you can pick, you know, what place everyone comes in or whatever, and wait, it's weighted, and you can do it 1 week and do it not another week, and then they pick a champion, all that crap.
Football square.
On when there's Thanksgiving and we have to work on Thanksgiving, everyone wheels out the big television and watches the game while at work. I mean, like, sports culture is like, my work is saturated in, like, it, and we don't do anything to do with sports.
You can't go to very many fucking restaurants without there being ESPN on the wall.
Oh, we know.
Like, like, you can't eat a fucking meal and not have sports there. You know, it's invasive.
And I bet.
And as a sports fan, that pisses me off, because when I go to eat a meal, I want to eat a meal. Well, not be distracted by the television.
Well, now, I think that this is a very important part in... So when Eric and I was talking about this with me, we were talking about work one day, and he was saying how he thinks that I'm sure he will correct me and elucidate his opinion more in comments, but he said that he thinks that people, geeks, you know, looking down on sports and saying derivative things like that are insulting, like, oh, sports ball, and like, oh, I hope that basketball guy kicks a place, you know, or whatever... that is just as bad as jocks making fun of us, calling us nerds, you know, saying, making fun of our wizards and stuff.
Right.
I don't think that's, oh, I'm sorry.
I think that because of that dominant culture saturation, the fact that you can't go to a restaurant with it being sports on TV, the fact that your work brings in the TV at Thanksgiving for a football game, but not for the Oscars, if you guys are working on a Sunday. I mean, it's that makes it impossible for those people to ever really truly be oppressed by anybody else.
Right.
But what Eric is feeling, and maybe Tim to some degree, is as a geek, one more thing that you love that even your fellow geeks are making fun of.
Yeah. Well,
you don't feel that? Yeah. Eric's
no,
just a pussy.
No, I don't. Yeah,
Eric's a total pussy, because it's like saying, well, why do they get a gay pride parade? We don't have a straight pride parade. It's the same thing. The dominant culture can't fucking...
I
don't know.
It's already being celebrated.
Well, right. Here's the thing.
Constantly, everywhere, at all times.
Find me a herd of nerds that ever shoved a quarterback into a locker.
Ah,
you know
there you
what
go.
I'm saying?
Yep, yep.
It's a completely different thing. And while on one hand, if somebody in any culture is saying, hey, this is something that I'm interested in, and you're dismissive of it, mm-hmm. you're being a jackass.
Sure,
because,
of course.
Because you could just... not say anything if you're not interested.
This just in. A lot of your friends are assholes, Eric.
Sure.
but I don't think you get to, like, whine and bitch and complain that someone's being dismissive of something
or
that
bullying.
Bullying is bold. I think that's generous as fuck to say.
Here's my way of explaining it. So, like, let's say you're at a mall. Now, if you see some dude wearing a Vikings jersey,
yeah,
that's not weird, right? That's
not at
pretty.
All.
That is a common sight.
De rigueur.
If you saw that same dude, but he was wearing a wizard's cloak, everyone would be staring, and everyone—they're both costumes.
People would be talking about
it. Or outright mocking, or possibly hurting him.
Now you can totally wear a Star Wars T-shirt, and that's not going to or a Doctor Who T-shirt.
A little better. You can wear a football T-shirt.
Wait,
they make football T-shirts.
Sure.
This is the football jersey. You are wearing the costume of the player.
That is true.
We can go one further
and
say
you're cosplaying.
Yes, you are.
Right. We can go one further and say people that attend sporting events. Who go shirtless and body paint themselves up like
wear
their team's colors,
wigs like the Vikings.
And wear wigs and wear green man suits and all that shit. Those people are a little wacky. They're sports enthusiasts.
They're fans.
They're enthusiasts.
They're cosplaying.
But,
holy fuck, they're cosplaying.
But they're at an event for that thing. If there was a time and place when it's there. You could say the same thing about cosplayers at Convergence or any other convention. If there was ever a time and place for it, it's there.
Yes.
And those people are the butt of jokes.
But you're getting... there are newspaper articles. People will go to, like, Convergence and write a newspaper article and talk about all these people in weird, freaky costumes.
Yeah.
And not in a, hey, isn't it great that these people are into this stuff and they are doing all this work?
It's a field trip to the zoo.
Yeah. As opposed to, you know, nobody's going to write about that at a football game. There's nothing weird
about
going to a football game in Green Bay when it's 20 fucking degrees outside and wearing no shirt and painting Packers in big gold letters on your chest. Nobody... says that's strange or stupid or writes an article about how these people are nutbags.
There's an entire, there will be a Tumblr war or a Facebook war about whether or not a girl who weighs 200 pounds should be, quote, allowed to dress like Wonder Woman or allowed to wear that Black Canary costume. However, if a dude that weighs 400 pounds is wearing a Vikings jersey and it's not one of the linebackers, it's one of the goddamn quarterbacks or something, no one's like, oh, Brett Favre, more like Brett Fat, am I right?
Yeah.
No one, his picture isn't getting recycled over and over as, look at this fucking fat piece of shit who thinks he's a professional athlete.
No, that's...
Eat more cheeseburgers, you fuck fat.
And that's very totally different than just saying, oh, sports ball, whatever. Like I say,
exactly.
Still kind of a dick move. If somebody's writing about football and you don't give a fuck about football, don't say anything.
Now, hold on, because that's why this whole conversation started on Facebook was people were posting articles about this Richard Sherman thing. And Nick and I were among some people that were like, sports ball, really, who cares? A guy said a thing after his sports competition and he was excited. What the fuck are we talking about?
And to clarify, my point wasn't dismissive of the sport. My point was, why the fuck is this news? An athlete said something that was kind of dickish. Who the fuck cares?
Not only why is it news, why is it such news that it's everywhere?
Right.
And
part of that is the hierarchy of football. You know, you hit the playoffs and suddenly you go from 32 teams, all with a bunch of people saying stupid shit, to... four teams with a bunch of people saying stupid shit, so you can focus laser sharp on the one dude saying stupid shit.
Oh yeah.
But even so, it's a good point that we freak out. But to me, that's a celebrity culture thing. It's like happens when an actor says something.
This was happening while the Ukraine was like rioting and like there was actual news going on.
And so here's the thing. If someone, okay, so when the Duck Dynasty thing was happening, a whole lot of people were saying, who the fuck cares about some fucking reality show? And I don't remember anyone saying, excuse me? You don't get to come on my Facebook wall and be dismissive of the shows I like.
That's a good point.
But yet people were like, I had a coworker who was like super fucking angry at you. And Eric was mad at both of us. Like, I mean, not angry, but he was irked because he felt that we were being purposely dickish and dismissive and therefore rude and hurtful in that by extension, because we were targeting him as opposed to just ignoring the thing. And the thing is, that happens with everything. But for some reason on this issue, it got really touchy. And I think that everyone I noticed who got really touchy about it was a nerd who also likes sports. And I wonder if it's because they are like, they're so, like, for once they've got friends who get everything they get. And this is the thing that most of their friends don't. And it puts them right back in that junior high spot of like, I guess I'm alone again. I guess I'm the weird one again. I guess I'm the only one who feels this way again. Even though I thought I finally found my culture and my people, and now again, no one gets it. And that I understand, but no one ever says that because no one is ever honest about how they actually think or feel. They try to make it about the other person.
To me, it's so odd in that I think Facebook especially, but the internet is home to people getting inflamed and pissed off about all sorts of stuff, and I don't feel like you should ever really take it too personally. Friend of the show Carl Hagerman, he had a post, he did some political post a couple of days ago, and then he posts later, well, you know, serves me right for making a political post. I'm like, well, yes, in that if you don't want to be disagreed with, you shouldn't say something that you feel strongly about.
But, you know, you also, I mean, I feel that part of being an adult who is growing, evolving, and learning in the world around you is not living in an echo chamber. And so if what you want is to only hear your own voice coming back at you and your people, you know, yes men and all that right back at you, that's great. And if that's what you want, I will happily never, ever even notice your posts with which I disagree or take issue.
Yeah, sure.
But that would make me not want to be your friend. Because the whole point to me is contention. And if you can't handle me saying, ha, sports ball, who cares? By giving back, pushing back, saying, well, actually, here is why I care. Here's because blah, blah, blah. Not, you know what, guys? That's really dismissive.
Yeah.
That makes it like, okay, wait a minute. Why are you mad here? Like, it feels like this isn't why you're mad.
So, I can think of, like, many legitimate reasons for, beyond the fact that I just don't find sports interesting. It's not entertaining for me to watch.
Good for you.
I mean, there are legitimate, like, real world fucking problems with sports.
Absolutely.
Football is a game. Football is a game of, like, rapists and spousal abusers and dog fighters and all that shit. And all these guys get a free pass.
Well, and, you know, here's the problem. That is not true of 95% of the guys that play football.
Sure.
And the problem is, the problem to me is not that those guys do those things. It's that they can do those things and still be football players.
Yes, right. Agreed.
No,
because
absolutely.
The business of football is more important than sending a message that says, if you do shit like this, you don't get to be a millionaire football player.
And meanwhile, if you're gay, you don't get to play football.
Or if you are on the side of gay equality, you also don't get to play football.
Right. And meanwhile...
That's going to change, by the way.
Of course it is. The world's changing.
But meanwhile... the NFL, NHL, NBA, whatever's baseball,
MLB,
they all enjoy tax-exempt status.
Yes, they do.
Yes, and even though they are billion-dollar industries.
And even though they get millions and billions of dollars from the state.
In taxpayer money to build stadiums and things. Also, I've never been one of those people that's like, you know, I don't have kids, so I don't think my taxes should go to schools. Or I don't have a car, so my taxes shouldn't go to the roads or whatever the fuck. I don't believe that. We're never going to have kids, and we vote yes on all of the pay more taxes for better education, legislation stuff.
Sure. Yep, always. Some days those kids are going to be taking care of you in an old folks home.
Not even, I don't care if I die tomorrow.
I don't want stupid kids in my neighborhood.
Who's against the education of children?
Right.
I've seen your kids. No, but my point is, I can't, you know, when they want to make the stadium paid for with a tax, it's like, but they don't want to just increase the ticket sales of the stuff for the sport.
Why shouldn't the people that are going to use it pay for it?
You know, I'm a sports fan that gets pissed off about that.
Because
the fact is, well, no, I'm not going to get into all the finances behind this. Because I can explain all the finances behind the National Football League. I understand them really well because I am a sports fan. And I do, and that stuff actually is fascinating. Understanding the workings of that bullshit.
Infuriating.
Oh, it's infuriating that a fucking billionaire can't build his own fucking stadium.
Yeah.
Because he's got more money than all these motherfuckers that are going to his game.
He writes incredibly rich people's checks. Like, their paychecks, he signs, and they're sick rich.
It's the difference between rich and wealthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a different issue entirely.
Yes.
The way professional sports work within our community and the way they fuck people over.
Or college sports.
Yeah.
And college athletes being fucking slave labor entertainment that universities are making millions on. They don't get a dime.
And also, these guys, I mean, I understand why it's like, make all the money you can, because if you've only got a 5-year career max,
it could be ended like that.
It could be ended and I understand that. I really do. What I don't have a problem with the players earning that much money, if it's generating that much money.
If that's the money they're spending.
And when people are like, oh, I can't believe that actor got paid $20 million. Like, that movie's going to make $500 million in its lifetime.
People are only worth what someone will pay for them.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's fine. What I don't like is the people who don't play sports and don't actually coach and don't do anything except, like, own a team. And they get tax-exempt stuff for their shit because of that. So, and
they're all sorts of problems there.
Right. And that keeps you from enjoying it to a large degree.
Absolutely. It makes me disinclined to enjoy it.
It's the same reason a lot of people hate the Oscars, because they hate all the glossy, celebrity, beautiful people. You know, they say, oh, it's all, you know, makeup and dresses, and if I had a personal trainer, I could look like that, and it's ruining, you know, beauty culture in America.
I'm able to appreciate, like, an auteur and have figured actors and disconnect myself from the plots and that sort of thing, but I don't know, like, I just feel that it's far less insidious.
Basically, the way I see it, gossip magazines like Us and People and Star and all that stuff, and that's that, like, the idea that you can be famous for never having done anything except like maybe have a big ass and a sex tape or like be her sister. And that's all you've ever done. And then you used money to make perfume. And so now you're an entrepreneur or whatever. I mean, my mom talks about...
You use money to pay somebody else to make perfume and then put your name on
it. My mom talks about the teen moms, like we should all know their names. She's like, Farrah Barabara. And I'm like, who? Oh, she was one of the teen moms in the original. And now she's in Teen Mom 2. And she has this boy. And,
you know, and honestly, sports is part of it. And like I said earlier, it's part of the same celebrity culture.
It's that for boys.
When celebrities... When celebrities sexist. Say shit,
yeah,
and when sports players say shit, it's elevated to a level that is unequal with their relevance to
same
society.
With celebrities.
It's given false importance.
Yes,
yeah,
and like you said, Kiev is like a blackened hole in the ground right now, and a big reason that we did not hear a lot about it for a long time was because sports. Over here, specifically football, and I'm not saying that's the sports' fault or that's the fans' fault.
That's the media's fault.
That's the media's fault. But the thing
is, organizations.
There's a lot of problem with it's
all of our fault because we don't
consume
want
the media.
We consume the media. The media gives us what makes us turn it on, and they are of the opinion that we're not going to turn on the TV to watch Kiev burn.
And then they just kind of don't give us a chance.
Yeah. Whether or not they're right, I don't know. But I think
I don't know. I give NPR my money, and I listen to the BBC World News, and I Al Jazeera English is great. So I don't.
Fucking terrorist. Well,
and there's dudes who give their money to the cable company for the full-on sports package so they can see every college basketball game from from like one end of the day to the other.
And you know what? If that's your escape, man, more power to you.
Absolutely. My point being, like, you go out, you seek out the media that interests you, and they seek out the media that interests them, and unfortunately, because of this dominant culture idea, It's you know, the rarity is unfortunately becoming like being informed. And I think people who find themselves in both worlds of like sports fandom and this like geek informed, like trying to, you know, be present and intelligent in our world as opposed to just spreading circuses, maybe it's like an internal struggle, I don't know, that leads to this kind of weird feeling kind of at sea, maybe like no sense of belonging. I don't know.
And I think to the point, getting back to Eric's original point and the point of being dismissive, and is that I don't think it's any more wrong than somebody saying, you know, get over it, man, Firefly is not coming back.
Yes.
You know, and maybe that's dismissive too. To me, it's just, there are so... I always say everybody's a geek about something. We talk about geek culture, but humans as a culture, we all find shit that we nerd out about.
Well, if you're not passionate about something, I mean, what's the point?
Some people are passionate about sports, and some people are passionate about fucking Firefly coming back. And it's all good.
Yep.
It's all good, but you got to accept that not everybody is passionate about your thing, and stating, I'm not passionate about your thing.
I'd just like to point out that Tim just passively approved of and endorsed snuff porn, so...
I just have to tell you, Tim. No, seriously, and Eric, specifically to you, a point that I hadn't really made before, but the idea that, oh no, someone's being dismissive of this thing I like, and that's so rude. If I had a nickel for every time on one of my running posts someone said, I only run if someone's chasing me, why would you do that? Or, sure. I think running is crazy. And I don't get upset, even though that's hurtful and dismissive, because why would I bother? I get it. Not everyone's into it. Yeah. And that's them. That's their way of trying to connect with me. That's their way of saying, hi, friend, I am reading this post, and this is my way of acknowledging it, but I have nothing to say about this.
It's a chime
except
in.
Except that, it's a chime in.
Yep.
And I think that
it's a desire to interact with the post in some way.
You got to switch your perspective on it, and you have to realize that, like, it's, you can take everything fucking personally and get your panties in a wad about everything and have a horrible time on the internet, or you can just understand that people generally mean well, and that's what they're trying to do.
So in an argument recently, someone told me that I shouldn't say panties in a bunch.
Oh.
Or I said panties in a twist.
Yeah.
I said
is
we
that
don't
misogynist.
I said we don't need to get our panties in a twist about this part. Blah blah blah. Like just in an argument.
Yeah.
I mean online, and someone was like, "There's no reason we can't have a civil conversation here. You don't need to say things like panties in a twist. That's super dismissive and blah blah blah."
Oh my
blah,
god.
Blah. And I was just like, "Oh, I was being so nice. Like
yeah.
You have no idea."
It's just like whenever if I swear at a if not at someone, but if I say. I don't know if I say, I don't know why the fuck we're arguing about this instead of the original point, and someone will say, oh, and now we're getting profane. I'm out. I thought we were having a civil conversation. It's like, I didn't say fuck to you or at you. I just said it. I say it a lot. You should not. Right. Like,
Yeah, but then they walk away and they're like, well, I'm done talking.
Right.
So you can't even say, what the
Yeah. Outrages, you know, man, it's life's too short to be constantly outraged. That's what I'll leave us on. We have a very special thing. We have 5 questions answered, but written down on paper.
Handwritten.
You can
hear the answers.
That's paper. You're hearing paper.
It's like snail mail answers to our 5 questions.
So before there was email, we used to write messages with a pen on paper, and we'd give them to people physically.
How did you spell check them?
With my mind, Nick.
Where did you send them to? How did you...
All
people's
over.
Homes have email addresses?
They did. It's called their address.
When you ask somebody where they live so you can go to their party at their house.
Or you bring them to them at a vilification tennis show and hand them off
you
that
just,
way.
How we got
like,
these.
Like our... And who do we have questions from, Nick?
We have... So the nom de plume is Edgar Book or EPBOOKE on Twitter.
EP Book.
Yep. Self-described working class zero homebrewer atheist Edgar of Edgar and Heather from Does a Decade Matter podcast.
Some fellow podcasters.
All right,
so we have his
Tim,
five
start us off with the first question.
Hey, Edgar, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
My girlfriend and I saw the Doctor Who 50th anniversary special in the theater. But if you wouldn't call that a movie, then I would have to say Thor 2.
Mm.
Both were pretty fantastic.
Yeah. So the 50th anniversary special, that's the one with the War Doctor.
Mm-hmm. I think you saw it in the theater. I think that kind of counts.
That's awesome.
It does kind of count.
Yeah.
Did you guys see it in 3D too?
No, we saw it not in the theater.
Yeah.
I saw
amazing.
It like a month and a half
it was on a day. We saw it that day.
It was
on a day that we couldn't, for some reason, we couldn't go to the show.
Right.
I don't remember why.
I'm jealous, Edgar.
Hurt was great. I'd love to see him.
Yeah, that episode pissed me off mostly because I'm like, I want more War Doctor.
Yeah.
I want this Doctor.
For once, I didn't hate Rose.
Yeah. Right. That's because she wasn't playing Rose. She was.
Yeah.
It's proof that we don't hate the actress, we hate the character, because she was great in that.
She was good in that show where she was a whore. Doctor Who, no.
she wasn't good in that.
But the writer, Moffat, said that he would never do the Time War as a TV series. He would want it to do it as a movie or a series of movies because that's the budget it would need to
be made.
So if they ever were going to do Hurt as the Doctor and show more of him in that role,
in
it would be during the Time War, and so it would have to
be done
in this impossibility that is a Doctor
Who
movie.
That would be awesome, but they need to do it soon because Hurt's kind of old.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Get on it, Moffat.
Yeah.
All right,
question number 2. Edgar, who is your favorite atheist character?
I like his answer for this one. This one took me a really long time to think of, but I'm going with Spider Jerusalem from Transmetropolitan.
Oh, fuck yes!
Early in the series, he makes a comment about how many new religions are created every day, but he's much too cynical, paranoid, and vulgar to submit to the world of any will of anyone's imaginary sky friend.
Yes.
Have you read Transmet, Tim?
No.
Oh, Tim, that's your next
Warren
that's your
Ellis.
Next big one we're going to get
yeah,
you on.
Yeah, it's
10 or 11 volumes.
Cyberpunk, near future.
Sweet. Sounds
journalism.
Good.
It's a journalism comic.
Oh.
He's basically
as
Cyberpunk
writer,
Hunter
gonna,
S. Thompson.
Yeah, you're going to love it. Just being a writer, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
I cosplayed with our friend Jordan, was Spider Jerusalem, and I cosplayed as Yelena. One year, and that's when we invented the drink, the Filthy Assistant, which is because I bought a bottle of Jägermeister, and we couldn't figure out what to mix it with, and since there's the free soda, and there was Dr. Pepper, it was like, oh, well, let's see what this mixes well with. Mellow Yellow? Nope. Mountain Dew? Not really. Dr. Pepper? Oh my God, it's amazing. 1-to-1 ratio, Dr. Pepper and Jägermeister is a Filthy Assistant.
Yeah.
You make it at home, folks.
Yes.
All right, question number 3, what's your geekiest hobby?
My geekiest hobby has to be hunting down the original sources for samples used in songs I've heard. For instance, after 2 years, I finally watched The Violent Years, a terrible Ed Wood movie from the 50s, just so I could see the origin of the many samples Ministry used in So What?
Oh.
This hobby also exposed me to the, quote, masterpiece, unquote, I'm guessing that's sarcastic, it is New Jack City, sent by the revolting cucks cracking up. I have an anecdote about New Jack City. My high school English teacher, sophomore year, we were studying Macbeth.
Okay.
So we watched New Jack City. Because it's crack dealer Macbeth.
Yeah, that's great.
And so she was sick one day, and we had a substitute in, and her directions were just to watch the second half of the movie with us, and the substitute said she had a moral objection, and she could not, in her right mind, do that, so we just had a scrap day to do whatever the fuck we wanted. Because wasting our time was better than watching
a movie. Dear substitute teacher, whoever you were, fuck you. Yeah.
Dear substitute teacher, there's a reason you're a substitute and not a teacher.
Yeah. You do the fucking lesson plan the teacher had. Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I have a brief anecdote about looking at sound samples from favorite songs. So when I was 16, I was obsessed with The Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails. Yeah. I listened to it in completion so many times I actually wore out my cassette tape. I listened to it constantly. And so one day I was in the kitchen. My mom and dad were watching THX 1138, which I'd never seen. Mm. And I'm making lunch, and all of a sudden I hear this like whip sound, and then this like whip sound, and and I'm like, what? And I know that sound because that's right from the very beginning of The Downward Spiral.
Yeah, yeah.
And I come running in because I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, it's THX 1138. I'm like, that's a sample. That's a sample. And and it was amazing. And it was like this mind-blown moment. So I can totally get why that's your hobby. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Question number 4. What is your favorite sandwich?
The Reuben is the best sandwich ever created. It is truly the king of sandwiches, I agree. It must be made with pumpernickel without any caraway seeds.
I agree about the no caraway seeds. Fuck caraway seeds, man.
Then sauerkraut to taste, and about a quarter pound of razor-thin, slow-cooked corned beef.
That's what I'm talking. Thin sliced is better.
Then the Swiss cheese, topped with the other slice of pumpernickel. It's the only way to be served while the toast is still crispy.
Oh, God.
We went to Kieran's the other day for a show, Molly, the Encyclopedia show. I ordered a Reuben, and I'm not really a bread eater, so I ate the insides of the Reuben with a fork.
That was good.
It was fucking amazing.
They should just serve that in a bowl.
We had that at someone's house at a party.
Oh,
we had, like, a crock pot full of everything that goes into a Reuben
dip? Oh, yeah. Fucking A. My mom makes
really
a killer
good.
Reuben dip.
Yeah,
really
I would eat that by the bowlful.
All right. Question number 5. What's the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
The single most offensive comment I've received about my atheism was my brother telling me, quote, "Don't tell Grandpa. Think about the inheritance."
Oh, Jesus. Pragmatic, but
yeah,
horrible.
Yeah. He expected me to whore out my integrity in exchange for money like him. As far as I can tell, he's also an atheist, except whenever there's a Christian in the room. And I thought I was the one lacking moral integrity.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you gotta just,
See, you know, and here's the thing. I feel like there's the one thing if it's like, don't tell Grandpa, as in, like, there's no need to make a big announcement. Like, hey, everybody,
he'll be gone soon. It doesn't matter.
It's not, like, I mean, but I also would say, I mean, certainly I would never lie about it. Like, my grandma knows. She probably doesn't know I'm an atheist right now because she's got dementia. But she does know I'm an atheist. We've talked about it. And she, whenever I have mentioned it, she'll be like, one time when she came down to our house, the very first time she came to our house, she's like, oh, is that yours and Nick's church? To the mega church. And I'm like, we're atheists, pretty, you know, we don't really. And she goes, oh, sure, you just don't go to church. I understand that. And I'm like, no, we like don't believe in God. She's like, oh, right, you don't go to church, you don't pray to God, that's understandable. And it was like cognitive dissonance. Like, she was not hearing the words come. Sure. It wasn't that she wasn't listening. It was like her brain couldn't hear it.
It couldn't penetrate.
It wasn't an option recognized by her.
So, I think that was a good conversation about sports ball and
hand thank egg. You for your answers.
Thanks, Edgar.
Just to piss Eric off, I'm going to name this episode Sports Ball.
You should. Sports Ball, a study of hand egg. No, but seriously, you guys, please comment away. I want to hear what you have to think about this. If we're right, if we're wrong, you know, this was, by all means, I want to hear no more. I personally just want to say that sports is dumb, and if you don't run, you're also dumb. So. I have a letter jacket. I lettered. I was a varsity captain.
Wait, hang on. You play like you are the nerdiest sport type athlete.
Oh, yeah. I play a solo sport that doesn't involve any coordination and no one likes. Yeah, it's pretty much, and no one wants to come watch. By the way, I'm running a half marathon. Anyone want to come watch? Yeah, I didn't think so. Won't be televised. That's cool, though.
Nick's going to be there. He's going to watch. Maybe.
Nick might be there. It depends on if it's snowing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't blame him for that.
But anyway, please, you guys, if you like our podcast, rate us on iTunes. We could use the ratings boost. We could also love it if you would tweet at us, message us on Facebook. We love it when you post things on our wall. Thanks, guys. We have a great fan base. Come see Die Laughing. We're going to be doing this thing from April 4th to April 6th at the Airport Hilton.
There will be definitely two live Geeks Without God podcasts
also
over the course of the weekend.
We're going to be auctioning off in our silent auction definitely one and maybe even two Geeks Without God spots where
Holy
you
shit.
Get to be a guest on Geeks Without God.
We'll talk about whatever the fuck you
I'm
want.
I'm just saying,
about.
You definitely want to come to Die Laughing. We'll have more details as it comes. Thanks. We've been Geeks Without God.
Bye, everybody.
See you later. Do not offend the chair leg of truth. It is wise and terrible.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Listen to past podcasts and catch us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. Follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod and like our Facebook page, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
This is not what I meant, man.
It's not even,
oh.
It's not even what I,
oh,
oh,
it's all your...